All right, Shavuot Sai, good morning. Let's begin a beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Memtes 49. And we are picking up on Memtes 49 at the top line. Last word on the line, Tani. So Shavuot Sai, our shir this morning is dedicated by Bobby and Lisi Lilienfeld in honor of Esther, Michelle's birthday. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, she will enjoy many more birthdays. And a thank you to the Lilienfelds for dedicating this morning's shiur. Let's begin. So Tani, top line. Tani Rabba Bar Rav Chana Kamei Dirav. So Rabba Rav Chana taught the name of Rav. Kivsi Atzer Sheshachtel Neshum Eilim. Again, still with our Kivsi Atzeres. In this case, an interesting situation over here, where a person shechted the kiv siatzaris l'shem elim. I will say l'shem elim literally means instead of shechting it for a keves as a lamb or as a sheep, he shechts it having in mind that it's a ram. Now again, not a specific repurposing of the karbanic identity, but just simply having in mind for the wrong type of animal. So what's talacha? Ksherin. Ultimately, again, the carbon is kasher, but for lo other levaylim l'shem chova. So we've seen this already, this designation before, that ultimately, again, it's kasher, but it does not work to go ahead and satisfy the obligation. So the kivsi atzeres, communal obligation, is not satisfied, but the carbon itself is kasher. Amalei Rav, alu v'yalu. Rav said, no. Not only is the carbon itself a valid carbon, but in fact it satisfies the communal obligation. Amar Rav Chista, Mistarba Milsei Dirav, so it must be that Rav holds that what? Kesavar Elim Vishachton Lashum Kavasim. It must be that Rav holds that if you have Elim, right? Let's say you have a ram, and you shechted it with the intention that it's a keves, that it's a sheep. The Gemara says, Vishachton Lashum Kavasim, Shari Kavasim Lashum Kavasim Nishchetu. I'm sorry, I skipped line. It must be that Rav's statement that alu vi alu works in the following situation. In the case of Bikasavar Elim Shachtel Lashum Kvasim, where he thought it was Elim, and it turned out that what? That he shechted it Lashum Kvasim. They're both saying now in that case it works. Why? Shar Kvasim Lashum Kvasim Nishkatu. Because at the end of the day, he thought it was Elim, it was really Kvasim, he shechted it in mind for Kvasim, so it turns out that after the fact, he actually did that which was right. He actually had in mind for the right type of animal. Aval kasavar Elim v'shechtel l'shem Elim. But if it turns out, Rabbo said that he shechted in kivsi atzeres, and what? He thought they were Elim, and he shechted them l'shem Elim, then how could ultimately, again, that work? After all, lo, Rabbo say that shouldn't be kasher. Why? Because akira b'taos havi akira. Because Rabbo say even an accidental uprooting of karbanic identity should be enough, ultimately, to compromise the effectiveness of the karban. The Rabba Amar Rabba said, or actually I think it's changed over here to, yeah, Rabba. So Rabba says, Akira b'ta'os lahabi Akira. Rabba says, no, that an accidental uprooting of karbanic identity is not enough to undermine the authenticity of that karbanic identity. So Amar Rabba, Umasina nashmaitin. So Rabba said, but the truth is we could refute this. Hakohanim shepiglu b'mikdash. Well, it's an interesting case here. If Kohanim had a machshavas pigul, right? So also remember again, no machshavas pigul is some part of the avoda is done with the intention to either consume the carbon or do some part of the avoda outside of the appropriate time. So Kohanim shepiglu b'mikdash. If a kohen had a machshavas pigul while doing the avoda, mezidin chayovin. If he had a machshavas pigul intentionally, then ultimately again he's chayiv for that. Now we'll say, by the way, interestingly enough, what's the chiyuv for over here? So the chiyuv the Gemara is talking about is a choshen mishpat chiyuv. Look at Rashi, mazidin chayavin l'shalim l'baylim d'mei karban. It was actually very interesting because halacha l'maisa, if I'm a kohen and I'm doing the avoda and I have a machshavas pigul, essentially my erroneous machshava has done what? Has negated the effectiveness of the karban, which now I cause the owner to lose out on his karban, which now means that what? I have a chiyuv ultimately again to replace that animal. Now, of course, the chiyuv only comes about if I, the kohen, disclose the information. Right? Obviously, because no one else has any way of knowing that I had a machshavas pigul, ultimately again without my disclosure. So just an interesting idea. In any event, so the hakarim shepiglu b'mikdash mezidin chayav, and if they did it bebeizid the chayiv. Hashogig in Pturin. But I will say, if the Kohen had the Machshavas Pigel B'shogig, ultimately, again, he's potter. He's potter. He has no obligation to pay the owner. V'tani Allah, pigulan pigulan. Yet there must be another price that says, no, even b'shogeg, if the kohen went ahead and had a machshavas pigul, he will be chayev for that. So we'll say, so what's the case? Hechi dami. Ile madiyada dechatosi. If you want to say that it's a case where the kohen knew that the korban he was offering was a chatos, the kamechashi balashum shlamim, but he has in mind for shlamim, then hai shogig in mezidin avu. Then Rabbi says that's not a case of shogig, that is a case of mezid, right? If the kohen knows that it's a chatos, but he has in mind that it should be a shogig, ultimately again, that is mezid. Elo, rather, what's the case? Lav de kasavar shlamimu. It must be that he thought, he had in mind that it's a shlamim. V'kamechashev bohu l'shum shlamim. And he has in mind, also, so he thought it was a shlamim. Therefore, again, he had in mind that it should be offered. His kavana was for a shlamim. And yet what? Rabbi said, in reality, it was a chatos. It was a korban chatos. But he quite made a mistake. He thought it was a shlamim. And he had in mind that it should be for a shlamim. V'katani pigulan pigul. And I will say, what does it still say? It still says that the halacha is that he's rendered the carbon pigul. What do you see from here? Alma, akira betos, havi akira. Therefore, I'll say, what do we see from here? We see from here that even an accidental uprooting of carbonic identity is still considered to be an uprooting of carbonic identity. Amalei Abayis. Abayis says, no, not necessarily. Leolam diyada dechatasi. It could very well be the coin's offering up a chatos. He knew it was a chatos, the kamechashe bohu l'shum shlamim. And what happened? We'll say, what's the case? Even though he knew it was a chatos, he had in mind when he was offering it as a shlamim. Aye, that's not shogeg though. That's mezid. To which the Gemara says, uba omer mutter. To which Abayi says, no, what's the case? We'll say, omer mutter. What's omer mutter? Omer mutter, we'll say, is a case where the kohen thinks that it is permitted to have in mind for a different carbon. So it's not mazid in that his intention is not to actively undermine the carbon. Yes, it's true, he has kavana, that even though it's a chatos, he has in mind to offer it up for a shlamim, but there's no sinister intention here. He thought that it's mutter to go ahead and have a different machshava for the carbon. He's got to go back for some mandatory retraining over here. That is kohanic malpractice. Absolutely, it's kohanic malpractice. But what's the lashon where it's, you know, it's negligence without intent to do harm. Meaning he thought that, like, it's totally fine. He actually thought that it's totally fine. So the idea is, because he thought it's totally fine, you can't call him a mazid, because we'll say the definition of mazid is where I know what I'm doing is wrong, but I do it anyway. Over here, again, his intention is not to do anything wrong. He just literally is, it's a chisar in yediyah. He just literally does not know. Therefore, we'll say, Abai will say, that's the case where ultimately, again, we will say that will be an akira betos. Okay? So, Master Abizero. So, we'll say, so remember again, the discussion over here that the Gemara is focusing on is what is the impact of akira betos? What happens when halacha lemaisa, Cohen has a wrong machshava by a karban, but that wrong machshava is betos. In other words, that wrong machshava is a mistake. Does it undermine the karban or not? So, Master Rabbi Zera raises another kasha, or Rabbi Zera raises a contradiction. Rabbi Shimon says, "Kol menacho shenikmetzu shelo l'shman ksheros." Listen to this. Rabbi Shimon says, we've actually had this before, that any mincha where the kmitza was done shelo l'shman, not for the sake of the particular type of mincha, what's the halacha? Ksheros. It works. Va'alu lebailin l'shem chova. And I will say, not only that, not only does it work, right now there's a kosher, but it satisfies the owner's obligation. And I will say, now I want to point something out over here. This is unique by karban mincha. Because by other karbanos, what we assume is, if they're offered up l'shman, they will work. In other words, when we say they'll work, meaning the karban is kosher, but what? Lo alu lebayin l'shem choban. It does not satisfy the owner's obligation. Remember, we spoke about this yesterday. The only exception to this rule is what? Is chatos. That chatos offered up shelo l'shma will be possible, but other karbanos which are offered up shelo l'shma, it works, but it doesn't satisfy the owner's obligation. Yet when it comes to a karban mincha, the halacha is that what? The halacha is that not only if it, the kemitzo is done shelo b'shma, not only is the carbon kosher, but what? It satisfies the owner's obligation. Now, why is that? Here we go. So the Gemara says, "Shein hamenachos domos lezvachim," because it will say a mincha is different than a regular carbon. How so? Shakometz machavos l'shum marchashas. Because you're supposed to listen to this. What the Gemara essentially is going to explain is that kamitza looks different by every type of mincha. We call the meal offerings, the flour offerings, a mincha, but in reality, each we have, it's actually interesting, you know, we're in Maseches Menachos, but yet we have yet to have, and we're 49 blot in, but yet we have yet to engage in an actual thorough conversation of the different types of menachos. Again, we're going to get to it. We're going to get to it in Meretz Hashem. But the idea over here is each mincha is made differently, and therefore the kemitza looks different. Because the kemitza, because the actual mincha looks different, essentially, even if you have the wrong intention, it doesn't matter why, because it's what's called ma'aseha mochichin aleha. Your actions speak louder than your machshavos. See, here we go. So the Gemara says, Shakometz machavos l'shumar cheshes, because if someone has a minchas machavos, and he does kemitza on the machavos, and he has a mind for marcheshes, he's just different types of minachos, ma'aseh mochichin ala shi machavos. I will say it's clear from the mincha itself that it's not a minchas marcheshes, it's a minchas machavos. See, even though I had in mind for a marcheshes, the mincha will still be good and will still satisfy my obligation. Chareva l'shum belula. Similarly, again, I will say, if I'm offering up a carbon mincha chareva, and I have in mind to do it l'shum belula, it's still going to be kosher. Why? Because ma'aseh mochichin ala shehi chareva. Because ultimately, why? Because the actions, my actions, are clear that it's for a chareva. Aval b'zvachim enokin. But I will say, by regular carbon, so essentially by mincha, because we can actually tell the type of mincha you're offering from what Rabbi Osai, based on how the mincha looks, based on how the kemitza looks, so therefore, even if you have an erroneous machshava to a certain degree, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The mincha will still be good, and not only is the mincha kosher, but what? It even satisfies your obligation. Aval b'zvachim enokin. But by regular kabanos, it's not like this. Shchita achas l'kulon, because Rabbi Osai, by regular kabanos, it's one shchita, right? Shchita, shchita. Ishrita. Kabbalah achas lekulon, one Kabbalah, same type of Kabbalah. Zrika achas lekulon. Assuming in a bus, one type of Zrika. So by Karbanos, I will say, I can't say ma'aseh mochichin aleha. I can't say that the actions related to the carbon prove what type of carbon it was. Because every carbon gets the same shchita, every carbon gets the same Kabbalah, every carbon gets the same Zrika. And even if you're going to say, well, that's not necessarily true about Zrika, this one gets two Zrikas, this one gets one Zrika, this one gets Lamala Michota Zrika, Lamat Michota Zrika, that's fine, but those are usually more indistinguishable actions. The act of Zrika itself means a blood application is Shavalachol. Everyone thing has that. So Gemara, so let's analyze this. Hechi Dami. When we say, so therefore, what you're telling me is by Karba Mincha, even if the owner has erroneous Das, the erroneous das, meaning when I say erroneous das, even if he has in mind for the wrong type of carbon mincha, the carbon will still be kosher because ma'aseh mochichin alha. The actions show me what type of carbon it is. So what's the case? If you want to see that what? If you want to say that the Kohen knows that it's a minchas machvas, he knows. But yeah, when he does the kemitza, he dafka has in mind for a marcheshes. So he will say, that's a hard sell. That's a hard sell to tell me that the mincha is supposed to be a machvos. The Kohen knows it's a machvos, but he purposely has a mind for a marcheshes. So you're going to tell me that when he actively uproots the intention, even though it's clear from the mincha itself that it's a machvos, that it's still going to be a kasher karban mincha. In other words, he's actively uprooting. He's actively uprooting the proper das and supplanting it with an erroneous das. And you're going to tell me that doesn't make any difference as the effectiveness of the karban? That's very difficult to swallow. Elalav, rather, the case must be as follows. Elalav, dikasavar marcheshesi, dikakamis leilishum marcheshes. Rather, what's the case? The case is, Rabbi says, he's bringing a karban machvas. The Kohen made a mistake. He thought it's not a machvos. He thought it's a marcheshes. And therefore he does the kemitza l'shum marcheshes. V'ta'a da'achuhu de ma'as v'ta'a. So it's like it's saying in this kind of case where everything is just flawed, everything is just a mistake, then what? That's when I can say ma'aseh mochichen alel, because it's really a machvas. He made a mistake. He thought it's a marcheshes. He does the kemitza l'shum marcheshes. That's when we can say no ma'aseh mochichen alel. That's what? That it's really a machvas. But Rabbi said that's because it's mamish a case of shogeg. But if he's literally amazed, so that should undermine the effectiveness of the carbon. Haba alma akira betals havi akira. Rabbi said generally we should say that even a mistaken uprooting of the carbon should ultimately undermine the effectiveness of the carbon. In other words, we'll say mincha is different. Mincha is different because the mincha itself looks different mincha to mincha. So as long as the kohen is not engaging in anything egregious, actively uprooting the identity of the carbon when he knows better, okay, I could say that a mistaken akira will still not undermine the effectiveness of the carbon. Why? Because akira betaos, excuse me, because ma'aseh mochichen alel, the action show me what type of carbon. But in general, with any other type of carbon, right, minaros, animal carbonos, I would say akira betaos havi akira, that even if the coin is mistaken about supplanting the carbonic identity with something else, that halacha lemaisa should undermine the effectiveness of the carbon. Amar Abaye, Abaye says no. Leolam diyada de machvasi. The case by mincha actually, Rabbi says, where the coin knew it was a minchas machlas, right, and yet he still has in mind to do it as a marcheshes. Vika kamis le mishum marcheshes. And you're going to say that's what? And what's the case of Osai? He knows it's a machvas, but he purposely has in mind that it should be a minchas marcheshes. How could you possibly say it's still kosher in such a situation like that? V'tika amrit ki ma'aseh mochichan aleha mayhavi. And you said before, even if it's ma'aseh mochichan, if the kohen has actively, meaning he knows he's doing something wrong, yet he's still going to say the carbon is kosher. How could that be? Rava Latame. So we'll say this is Rava going according to reason, which we've actually learned this before. Dama Rava, Machshava de lo minkara, pasla rachmana. Machshava de minkara, lo pasla rachmana. So we'll say to which Rava advances a very interesting idea. If you look at Rashi, Machshava de lo minkara, see Rava say, at a time ultimately again, where it's not clear that the coin's machshava is flawed or not, the carbon will be pasul. But when it is clear that the coin's machshava is flawed, then his actions trump his machshavas. So Rabbi says, so what it's saying over here is as follows. In a case, ultimately again, where the coin is offering up a machvas, but what? He has in mind for a carbon marcheshes. So we'll say, what's going to be the halacha? That is going to be a case of what we call a machshava delo minkara. You can't tell from the kohen's actions what his machshava is, right? Remember again, he's offering up a machvas, but he has in mind for marcheshes. Can you tell that his machshava is for a marcheshes in that case? Can you tell? No. Why not? Because ma'aseh mochichen alav, because his actions, even though he has a mind for a marcheshes, his actions show that it's a machvas. Rava says that the only time a kohen could go ahead and undermine the effectiveness of a carbon is when Rabbi Osai, when his flawed machshava is apparent in his actions. That's what's called the machshava de minkara. But if at the end of the day, his machshava ultimately again is, Rashi, the Gemara says, machshava de minkara lo pasal yirachmana. If ultimately again the machshava is not mink, then ultimately again it doesn't pasal the carbon. So we'll say, so what do we say? Okay, so that's all fine by carbon mincha. What about this akira betos thing? Remember how this whole discussion started? This whole discussion started with somebody shechting kivsei atzeres sheshachton l'shum elim. So what do I do in that situation? So first of all, I just didn't finish reading that. Rashi says, machshav delo minkara imhu mechazeit im lav pasal rachmana. So we'll say, ultimately, again, if the machshava is not minkar, if he's lying or not, then ultimately, again, the Torah will pasal the carbon. Machshava de minkara shum mechazeit lo pasal rachmana. So we'll say, essentially, what it's saying over here is as follows. If it's so clear from his actions that his machshava is flawed, then essentially the machshava becomes invalid. So meaning, it sounds a little bit counterintuitive at first. So in other words, if he's performing a minchas marcheshes, but he has in mind from machvas, So we'll say, that's a case according to Rava of a machshava de minkara. If it's so clear that his machshava is flawed, then essentially what? The machshava essentially becomes voided in the face of the action. The action speaks louder than the machshava, and therefore the machshava does not have the ability to go ahead and what? To go and undermine the effectiveness of the karban. Okay, so that's Rav Ashita. But so listen to the Rambam Paskin. So this is in Perek Tes Vav, Halacha Tes Zayin. So listen to this. Shnei Kivsei Atzeres. Here's Halacha and the Rambam. Shnei Kivsei Atzeres. Sheshachton L'shem Eilim. So I take it, we're finishing up the sugya. We're finishing now with the Kivsei Atzeres, Shavuos offering. So I take the Shnei Kivsei Atzeres, and I Shechton L'shem Eilim. I have in mind for rams. Lo alu l'tzibor l'shem chova. So we'll say in that case again, so they might be effective karbanos, but they do not satisfy the tzibor's obligation. V'im dama shehein eilim, v'shachton l'shum eilim. Supposed to listen to this. But if the kohen thought that they were eilim, and therefore what? He shechted them l'shem eilim, alu lahem nipnei shiakira b'taos. They work. They work. Why? Because it wasn't Akira B'taos. So the way the Rambam Paskins is ultimately Akira B'taos, lo havi Akira. So here's what's interesting. If the Kohen knew that they were Kivsei Atzeres, and he shechs them l'shem Eilim, it doesn't work. Because that was an Akira B'kavona. He actively uprooted the Karbanic identity. If he thought they were Eilim, he just made a mistake. And he offers them up as Karbanos. Right? Again, that's in Damalam Shem Eilim and Shachtan Shem Eilim. Then interestingly enough, it works to satisfy the Tzibor's obligation for Kivsei Atzeres. Why? Because Akira B'taos, lo havi Akira. A mistaken uprooting of Karbanic identity does not undermine Karbanic effectiveness. That's how the Rambam paskins. Good. Bosei Mishnah. This actually is a really very interesting Mishnah. Next. Hatamidin emu ma'akvinas ha-musafim. We're going to see what this means in the Gemara. But the Tamidin, the Karban Tamid, is not ma'akev the musaf. V'la musafin ma'akvinas ha-tamidin. And the musafin, Karban musaf, is not ma'akev the Tamid. V'la musafin ma'akvin zeh. But say similarly again, if let's say again you have a situation where you're offering up more than one karban musaf, the absence of one does not negate the ability to bring the other. Lo ekrivu keves baboker. But listen to this. Let's say they didn't offer up the tamid shel shachar. They didn't offer up the keves in the morning. Yakriva bein arbayim. Now, but say, we'll have to see what this means. Bepashtus, what it sounds like is the following. Even though there is a halacha, the karban tamid is you bring one tamid in the morning, one tamid in the afternoon. If for some reason you didn't bring the morning tamid, you could still what? Bring the afternoon tamid. Amar Rav Shimon, when is that so? Bizman shayu anusim o shogin. We'll say first wide line, mem tes medalev. That's true if they were shogigin or anusim, which means it was an accident that they did not bring it in the morning, or there was an ones, some type of extenuating circumstance which prevented them from bringing it in the morning. Then you could bring the carbon in the afternoon. Avalam hayu mazidim v'lo ekrivu kevas baboker. Lo yakrivu bin abayim. Rav Shimon is of the opinion that if b'mezid they did not bring the morning tamid, then what? They do not bring the afternoon tamid. Okay, we'll discuss why that is. Lo hiktiru kitoros baboker. We'll say again, remember, the halacha was every day one mana of kitoros was brought. Half a mana was brought in the morning, half a mana was brought in the afternoon. Let's say for some reason you didn't offer up the morning kitoros. So what's the halacha? Yaktiru bein ha'arbayim. You offer up the entire amount ultimately in the afternoon. Amar Rav Shimon, v'kula haisa kreva bein arbayim. So Bosei Rav Shimon says, actually, let me take that back. So Bosei, the Tanakhama says, if you didn't offer up the morning ketores, you still offer up the afternoon ketores. Rav Shimon says, in the afternoon, you offer up the full mana of ketores. So Bosei, we're going to have to see if there's a machlokas happening here or not. There's a Tanakhama saying that if you missed the half mana in the morning, you could still offer up the half mana in the afternoon, but just half mana. And Rav Shimon saying, no, you offer up the full mana. We'll discuss that in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, now the Mishnah ends off with something very interesting. The Mishnah ends off with what appears to be a seemingly unrelated conversation. Because the Mishnah says, because we know we only consecrate the Mizbeach Azov with a full measure of Kitoras. And soon again, both say the large Mizbeach, the large outer Mizbeach, what we call Mizbeach Ola, was only dedicated through the offering of the Tamid Shal Shachar. And the Shulchan is only dedicated how? Ella belechem aponim b'Shabbos, with the placement of the lechem aponim on Shabbos. Again, Rabbi says, so it's not immediately clear. Rashi already points out the Gemara Mefarish. We're going to see what this part of the Mishnah has to do with anything. V'lo'as ha-menorah ella b'shivin erosevin ha-abayim. Rabbi says, similarly, again, the menorah is only dedicated how? By kindling all seven lamps in the afternoon. Good. We'll see everything. So, we'll say an interesting conversation. Tzibor, listen to this. Tzibor, listen to this case. What happens in the following situation? I don't have enough animals to offer both the tamid and the carbon musaf. Remember again, tamid is two animals, musaf is two animals. I've got two animals. So I don't have enough to offer up the tamid and the musaf. So what's the question about say? Eza mehen kodem. Which one gets precedence? So let's analyze this. Hechidami. Ilema tamidin diyome umusafim diyome. So we'll say, actually, this is inyane diyoma. It's sukkis. I have a carbon musaf, and I have a carbon tamid. So if you're talking about mamish, it's on Yom Tov itself. So I have to decide, do I offer up Tamid today or Musaf today? So Pshita, that's obvious, that Tamidin Adivi, that the Tamid goes first. Why Rabbi Osai? Dahavid Uhu Tadir Umakudosh. We'll say, remember again, the Tamid of Yom Tov is endowed with two dimensions. Number one, it's endowed with the additional sanctity of Yom Tov, plus it's Tadir. It occurs with greater frequency. The Musaf has Kiddush of Yom Tov, but doesn't have frequency. So of course the Tamid goes first in that situation. Tamid takes precedence. Why? Because it has Kiddush of Yom Tov, and it's also Tadir. Shekin Tadir. I'm sorry. Tamidin Adifi Shekin Tadir. I'm sorry. I just lost the place. Ilema Tamidin Diyomim Musafi Diyomim Pshita Tamidin Adifi. Davlu Tadir Mekudosh. Ella, rather, we'll say, what's the case? Tamidin Dilamachar Musafin Da Idna. We'll say, listen to this case. A fine situation. I already offered up the tamid today. Now, boss, I only have enough animals to offer up. So if I have enough animals to offer up musaf today, but if I offer up musaf today, I won't have animals for tamid for tomorrow. So, when there's a conflict of musaf today and tamid tomorrow, then what? So the Gemara says, Tamidin Adifi. So, do we say that the tamid is adif shekin tadir? Because on one hand, boss, so tamid is tadir. O Dilma Musafin Adifi Dahavalu Makudash. Or do I say that maybe the Tamid, the Musaf Rabosai, ultimately takes precedence? Why? Because it has greater sanctity. Rabosai. Now what's interesting that's missing from this discussion is what? Is that the Musaf is now versus the Tamid, which is tomorrow. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. This idea ultimately, again, that what about mitzah bali adecha al tach mitzeno? Right? This idea that when you have the opportunity to do something, they will say, but you see something very interesting that's happening over here, which is the ability to, it's an incredible lesson. There is nothing more important in life than regilus. Right? They will say, regilus is the key to success. Habitual performance. See, I was saying this. We know this in life. There are some people who are great here, and some people who are great there, and they shine bright on Tuesdays and Thursdays and alternate Fridays. But they can't sustain things. I was saying, if you can't sustain something, then growth is exceptionally difficult. The beauty of the Tamid is exactly that. There's regilos. There's consistency. So we'll say, so from our perspective, there is nothing more important than sustaining the Tamid. The Tamid, Rabbi Osei, the whole message of the Tamid is Kishmo Keinu. There's a Tmidus. There's a Tmidus, Rabbi Osei. There's a consistency. There's a dependability. There's a reliability. It's reliable. So when I have a conflict, so Rabbi Osei, so the knowledge that I could maintain the Tamid for tomorrow is exceptionally important and is not set aside just because I've already fulfilled it for today. That's why, again, we'll say that's why this conflict even comes up. So I need to offer up the Tamid today, but I also have to make sure that, I'm sorry, I need to offer up the Musaf today, but I have to make sure that the Tamid will be there tomorrow. That ability to maintain the regilos and the temidos of the Talmid is of paramount importance. So what do I say in that kind of case? Do I say on one hand, Timidin Adif Ishikin Tadir? Do I say the Talmud is more important because it's Tadir? O Dilma Musafin Adifi Dahavid Makudosh? Or do I say the Musaf is more important, why Rabbo said? Because remember, the Musaf today is endowed with the sanctity of Yomtiv. The assumption is that tomorrow is no longer Yomtiv, and therefore the Talmud Rabbo Sai is not vested with additional Kedusha, it just has the Tadiros aspect. Amrle Tinisua. So he said, we learn this. Hatmidin ei ma'akvin es ha-musafin. V'la ha-musafin ma'akvin es hatmidin. V'la ha-musafin ma'akvin zeh zeh. So we'll say the Gemara suggests that this case is actually dealt with in the Mishnah. Because what does the Mishnah say? The Tamid is not ma'akev the Musaf. The Musaf is not ma'akev the Tamid. Hechi dami, what's the case? Ilema de islei ulekadim. If you want to say that it's talking about a case of where you have both the animals for the Karban Musaf, as well as for what? As well as for the Tamid. And therefore the Shaila just is one of precedence. Vatanya, we learned already. From where do I know that the Tamid Shal Shachar is supposed to be the first thing that's offered? Talmud Lomar va'arach aleha ha'ola. We'll say the pasuk says ultimately, you shall place the ola on the mizbeach. A reference ultimately to the tamid. Nothing comes before the tamid. Va'amarava ha'ola ola rishona. The ola ultimately, again, we'll say, is that which is offered up first. So already in terms of the tamid coming first, we already know that, right? We already learned that beforehand. Ella, so we'll say, what is the mishnah coming to teach me? Mem tesam adays. Ela pshita delesle. Rather, we're mostly talking about a case where there's an animal that's missing. There's something that's missing. Meaning at the end of the day, I don't have enough animals both for the tamid as well as for the musaf. V'idiyome. So if you're talking about, again, I don't have enough animals for both the tamid and the musaf on actual yomtiv itself, then Rabbi will say, that's not really a kash, because we already established that before, that of course the Talmud is going to take precedence. Why? Amai, tadir umekudosh, tadir adif. Because we'll also remember again, if I only have one animal available, and the shayla is, do I allocate it for, on Yom Tov itself, do I allocate it for the Talmud or for the Musaf? We already solved that issue. What gets done first, Rabbi will say? What gets done first is the Talmud. Why? Because the Talmud is vested with two kedushas. The Kiddusha number one of Tadirus of frequency, and the Kiddusha number two is that it also has additional sanctity because it's Yamtiv. El alav de la machar. Rather, Rabbi said, the case must be where what? I only have enough animals to either offer up the Musaf today, but if I do so, I will not have enough animals for the Tamid tomorrow. So what do I do in that kind of case? El alav de la machar, vikatani ein ma'akvin zedzeh. Yet what does the Mishnah teach Rabbi say? Ultimately, again, they're not ma'akev one another. What do you see from here? Alma ki adadininu. But say, what do you learn from here? You learn from here that when faced with a conflict between the musaf of today or the what? Or the tamid of tomorrow, those two karbanos are equivalent. And you can choose to allocate that animal wherever you so choose. Amr Le, we'll come back to that in just a moment. Amr Le, Abaye says, the olam de esle. Or Rabbi says, no, what's the case? The case ultimately is where you have. V'tika kashilacha, shalo yehe davar kodem. But you're supposed to say, so maybe the Mishnah is just teaching me the precedence and teaching me that Tamid always comes before Mincha. But the kash that you raised before there, we already learned that halacha. The kashilacha, shalo yehe davar kodem, mitzvah ba'almuhu. We'll say, from that previous Gemara, all I know is that there is a mitzvah to do the Tamid ultimately before the Musaf. But what? But it doesn't teach me that halacha lemaisa. It doesn't teach me halacha lemaisa that there's an absolute obligation to do so. Therefore, our Mishnah comes along and teaches us at what Rabbi say that there's an absolute obligation to go ahead and offer up the tamid prior to the musaf. So Rabbi say, how do we pasken in this case? So what becomes clear from this sugi is as follows: on the day itself of Yom Tov, when there is a conflict or where there's only enough animals to offer up the tamid or the musaf. So we'll say, which carbon wins out? Which carbon wins out? The Tamid. Why? Because the Tamid is vested with two Kiddushos. the Kiddusha ultimately of Yamtiv, the Tamid of Yamtiv also has Kiddusha as Yamtiv, plus it also has the Kiddusha of what? Or the importance of Tadirus, of frequency. What happens if there's only enough animals to offer? So let's say a Tamid was offered on Yamtiv already. And now what? And now I only have enough animals to either offer up the Musaf today, or what, the Tamid of tomorrow. So what do I do in that situation? So listen to this. So the Rambam Paskins, in this case, this is in Parakhas. Hulchos Tamidim Musafin Halacha Chaf. Get ready for this. So first of all, the Rambam Paskins. Hatmidin Eina Ma'akvin Es HaMusafin. La Musafin Ma'akvin Es HaTmidin. La Musafin Ketzon. Harish La Matzu. Let's skip down a little bit. Veinu Chayav La Hakriv Ashar La Machar. O La Moir Achar. Lo Matzu Ela Shnei Kavasim. Im Yakrivu Osan La Musaf Hayom. Ein Lem Tmidin La Machar. Rabbi says, this is our case. I only have two animals left. Two Kavasim left. I could offer them up for the Musaf today, or I could offer them up for the Tamid tomorrow, but I don't have enough for both. Hari Hadavar Shakul. The Rambam says they have the same importance. This is actually amazing. Again, when there is a conflict on Yom Tov itself between the Tamid and the Musaf, so the Tamid wins out because of Tadir and Kiddushas Yom Tov. However, if the Tamid were already offered up and I have two Kavasim left, so now my choice is either offer up the Musaf today or what? The Tamid tomorrow? What's the Halacha? Rabbi says, actually amazing. The Rambam says, Hadavar Shakul. They're of equal importance. And therefore what? It is up to you. Which Abbas tells you something absolutely amazing. Because in general, Abbas said, we have a concept that when a mitzvah opportunity presents itself, you grab it. But Abbas said, what do you see from here? You see from here that the regularity of Tamid is of utmost importance. So if you choose to go ahead and what? Forgo the Musaf of today in order to go ahead and what? Ensure the regularity of the Tamid tomorrow, then ultimately again you have the right to do so. Right, Rabosai? Because in Yiddishkeit, in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the Beis HaMikdash, in the world of growth, there is nothing more important, or I should say, consistency is one of our core values. And therefore, if you choose to forego the Musaf for today in order to ensure the consistency of tomorrow, the halacha says you have the license to do so. It's an incredible, incredible halacha. Because Rabbi Yossi, like I said, in general, we have the concept of mitzvah bali adecha al tach mitzena, don't let it go. Al tanichena, do not forego it, because you never know what tomorrow brings. But in the Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Yossi, consistency is a core value. So therefore, one of those interesting halachos where you have the right to choose which way to go. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Tashma. Ein poch sin mishisha talamu v'kar mishkasa. Rabbi Yossi, another interesting halacha. So ein poch sin mishisha talamu v'kar mishkasa talam. Rabbi Yossi, in general, there was a lishkas hatalayim, which was a chamber of lambs, right? Which I will say, ultimately, again, was a place where they used to keep korbanos that should be ready for sacrificial offering. You have to have a minimum of six lambs in that chamber at any given time. Why, Rabbi Yossi? Why six lambs? Kedei l'shabbos u'l'shnei yamim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yossi, in the event that you had the following situation, where Shabbos fell out right before Rosh Hashanah. Let's say it was Shabbos, Sunday, Monday. Right? So Rabbi Yossi, if that's the case, you need six lambs on hand. Why? This is for the Tamid, right? So you need two for Shabbos, two for each day of Rosh Hashanah. Remember again, Eretz Yisrael, Rosh Hashanah is also 2 days. So therefore, again, you always want to have a minimum of six on hand. Hechidami, what's the case? I don't understand. If the goal over here is to have enough animals on hand for both what? For both the Tamid and Musaf, then Tuvahavu. Then you need a lot more than six. Because remember, again, six only takes care of your Tamid needs, doesn't take care of your other Yomtiv needs. Elalav de lesle. Rather, I will say it appears that what? We only require you to have enough on hand for the Tamid, but not for the Musafin. What do you see from that? Ushmamina, Tamidin Adifi. We see from here that in the eyes of Halacha, the Korban Tamid is more important than the Korban Musaf. To which the Gemara says, lo. Liolam de isle. It will say, in reality, you have enough other animals. Bachi kamer, this is what it means to say. In pochsin mishisha tlan hamuvukarin belishkas hatlan dalad yamin kodem shchita. What it's saying is as follows. That Rabbi was saying, the lishkas hatlan, you always have to have a minimum a minimum of 6 tala'im that had 4 days of inspection under their belt. In other words, the Bo say you had to have a minimum of 6 tala'im that had satisfied the 4 day bikur obligation. The 4 day bikur obligation, I will say, was, as we're going to see in just a moment, the obligation that karbanos have to be under the watch of the Beis HaMikdash for 4 days to make sure they are free from blemish, 4 days prior to their offering. Umani ben Bagbag. Who's opinion is this? Rabbi said this is Ben Bagbag. What is Ben Bagbag? Say, Disanya, Ben Bagbag Omer, Minayin the Tamid Sheton Biker Dalad Yom. Rabbi said, now Ben Bagbag is a singular opinion, but this is quite interesting, which is that what? Which is that Halacha Lamaisa, Ben Bagbag holds that Halacha Lamaisa, before offering up a carbon, it must be under the watchful eye of the Beis HaMikdash for 4 days. For 4 days. Right? This is a din in tamid. A din in tamid. Not saying other karbanos, but a din in tamid. Right? Where do we get this from? Talmud Lomar, Tishmeru lahakliv liba moado. The Pasuk says, by karban tamid, Tishmeru, you shall guard it, lahakriv liba moado, to offer it up in its appointed time. Ulahalonu omer, and Bosa by karban pesach, what does it say? Vahayolachem le mishmeres ad arba asar yom. Bosa, the Pasuk by karban pesach, and this is by pesach mitzrayim, says that what? It shall be for your mishmeres ad arba asar yom. Remember again, what was the halacha by pesach mitzrayim? The halacha is, when did they have to take the sheep? On the 10th. Right, on the 10th, and they had to wash it. They had to guard it for 4 days. We will say, Ben Bagbag, interestingly enough, learns out this, that this halacha, by Karban Pesach, was actually applied to the Karban Tamid. And therefore, by the Karban Tamid, every Karban Tamid had to have a minimum of 4 days of inspection under its belt prior to being offered. So that Ma'la Halon, Tam Biker Arba Yamim Kodem Shchita, just like by Pesach Mitzrayim, the Karban had to be inspected for 4 days prior to its Shchita, Afkan, so to buy carbon tamid, taun biker arba'a yomim kodem shchita. Bosei Ben Bagbag held that what? That a carbon tamid, Bosei, needed a minimum of 4 days of inspection prior to being offered up as a carbon tamid. But according to Ben Bagbag, this was a unique halacha by what? A unique halacha ultimately by carbon tamid. I'm really Rabbi Ravashi. So Rabbi Nisit Ravashi, well, if that's the case, Hani Shisha, 6 sheep aren't enough. I'll tell you why. Shiva havu, you need 7. Why, Rabbi Osai? Da ika dit safra dit lasa b'shab. So, Rabbi Osai, let's play this out. If you're concerned about the following situation of what? Shabbos, Sunday, Monday. Thank you. Shabbos, Sunday, Monday. Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah, Sunday, Monday. Rabbi Osai, you need 7 sheep. Why? Because you need an extra sheep for what? So the 6 are fine. 2 for Shabbos, 2 for Sunday, 2 for Monday. What about what? Tuesday morning. Tuesday morning, Rabbi Osai. Where are you getting a sheep Tuesday morning for the Tamid Shal Shachar? So you should really have 7 on hand. The Gemara says, you know what? You're right. Well, Tamech Tiniave. You really should need 8 on hand. The Ike Depanya Demale Shabsa. Rabbi Osai, you should also really have to take into account what? You should have to take into account the Tamid Shal Bein HaArbayim on Erev Shabbos, on Friday afternoon. Because also, remember again, what we're trying to say is, in the event that you have a protracted period of Shabbos Yom Tov, you want to cover your bases to make sure you have the necessary Tamidin on hand. So 6 will take care of your actual Tamidin on Friday, Shabbos, Sunday. You still need Tuesday morning, because Yom Tov could be over late. You really should also keep on hand Friday afternoon, because you never know, Erev Yom Tov could be, Erev Shabbos could be a little bit hectic. So that'll help make sure you have everything. To which the Gemara says, Halo Kashya, de la basar de akriv ka'amar. Bosei, that's ultimately, again, don't worry about Erev Shabbos, Bosei, because again, Erev Shabbos is still a weekday. So weekday, we're not concerned about. Weekday, we know people that have the necessary karbanos on hand. What we're concerned about, ultimately, again, is Yom Tov. Okay, that's fine. So now you took off Erev Shabbos. What about top of Nun? Miko Mokom Shiva Havu. Bosei, but still, they need to keep on hand what? The sheep for the Tamid of Tuesday morning is still a legitimate concern. To which the Gemara says, I think you're misunderstanding. Ella Tana Ba'amakoi. I will say, the Gemara is meaning to give me a halacha. That in the Beis HaMikdash, Shabbosai, they always had a minimum of 6 sheep ready to go for the Tamid offering. They always kept in reserves a minimum of 6 sheep ready to go. Where do they get the number six from? So I'll say the number six, Umay Kedei L'Shabbos U'Beis Yomim Tovim Shorash Hashana Simna Ba'alma. I'll say it doesn't literally mean that they kept six sheep in the Beis HaMikdash on standby, karbanic standby, in the event that what? That it was Shabbos and then the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah to prepare, meaning they weren't actually preparing for a 3 day Yom Tiv, but rather, again, that was the simin. That ultimately, again, we always keep sheep. We always have enough of a supply in sheep for the most dramatic karbanic situation that could unfold. What's the most dramatic karbanic situation that could unfold, Rabbi Osai? It would be a three-day Yamim Tov, Rabbi Osai, have always been a stress for Klal Yisrael. Right? Even in the Beis HaMikdash, right? So our problem now, so our big shaila now contemporarily is showering. Okay, so in the Beis HaMikdash, it was about animals. It was about having a supply. But it doesn't literally mean that they only supply. What it means is, in the Beis HaMikdash, they always had a supply of six animals, six kvasim, six sheep, ready. Right? This was like the rapid response karbanic team, right? There was always a rapid response that could be deployed at any point in time. In the event, right, we always had six animals on standby. Where do you get the number six? That just corresponds to what would be the most extenuating karbanic situation. It would be a Shabbos and then 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So we're supposed to say, but just to be clear, they always had six animals on karbanic standby. Not just in the event that it was Shabbos and then Rosh Hashanah. This was always the reality in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Osei, was just an example. It was just a simon of the most extreme type of situation that could unfold in the Beis HaMikdash. To which the Gemara says, we'll stop with this. Dekanami Diktani, Rabbi Osei, you can even read this in the words. That we're not literally just talking about, in the event that it fell out this way, you should have these animals on hand. Saying that we always have these animals on hand. Because what does it say? Kedei L'Shabbos, V'lokatani Lishabis Ulubeis Yamim Tobin Shoshana. Because what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says, the Gemara says, you always have enough animals on hand. Kidei. Bosei Kidei means corresponding to the number of animals that you would need for a Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah. As opposed to what? Seeing that you have six animals on hand, Lishabis Ulubeis Yamim. Bosei, what's the difference between a Kidei and a Lish? A lim means you're literally preparing for this eventuality. A kedei means we keep in store the number of animals corresponding to the number of animals that you would need ultimately, again, for Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah. And the Rambam actually points out that this is indeed what they did on the Beis HaMikdash, that they always had at least a minimum of six kvasim corresponding to 3 days worth of the carbon tamid in the Beis HaMikdash to ensure that they would never run into a situation where they would be without the carbon. All right, we'll stop over here. Shkoyach.